Amazing, everybody, really coming to live. Spirit and coffee. Don't have coffee today because I'm fasting because I gotta go get blood work done. So there you go. First day officially of not having a coffee, but I have a coffee mug on my shirt representing coffee with a heart. There you go. That would be my coffee today. So I have to go get blood work. And as you know, sometimes we have to fast and so they can get a good count on, you know, what might be going on with me and just checking my health to make sure everything is good. So far, so good, though. Vitals, everything. They took all of my body stuff yesterday and it was looking good. Now they just want to do a couple more tests. So there you go. Part of life, right? We get older and we have to maintain our health and wellness. And sometimes that means that we have to go and go to the doctor and see what's going on with us, get our blood work done. It's kind of scary at times, right? Like you go in, you're like, I don't even know what's going to happen. Is, you know, my iron issues or, you know, is it going to be low? Am I going to need another infusion? Whatever it is. So there you go. So what I want to do is just sort of just a free for all, which has been kind of lately, like what's been going on in life and sort of how we're engaging in life and different sort of understandings or perceptions of the world and the world, the way that we see it, which would be consciousness or our way of our worldview. And the lens in which we ascribe to, because there are different lenses that we can utilize. And I want to talk about the construct of time. I think time is something that we could talk about and never stop talking about. In fact, there's a big, well, we'll just say that physicists and scratch their head at the time issue. Not necessarily sure how to measure time within the construct of, you know, certain mathematics or theoretical mathematic equations and trying to measure, you know, space and time and it's relative. And then we see in the quantum world, time doesn't even exist. It doesn't seem to exist. So there's a lot of different things, right, within the construct of time. And it's a weird, wonky thing. You know, we can say time is a word, which it is. It's a word that we made up to sort of, I say, to sort of describe the consciousness or the view or the perception or the awareness that we have within this particular time and space, this particular body that we are experiencing life through. We have, you know, these eyes, but if we didn't have eyes, we would experience time perhaps in a different way. Now, the word time is an interesting, you know, people have their own perception around this particular concept, this particular word. What is time? You know, in time, people will say, well, time is made up. It is, and it is an illusion, right? When we start to look again through the quantum physics realm, or if we looked at and we talked even in a metaphysical perspective of the fact that our souls are eternal, right? Because I had put a quote on Facebook, a friend of mine responded. And so the quote on Facebook was that time is our most sacred, precious gift. And the response was, I thought the eternal soul was our most sacred gift, you know. And then I know he was just like kind of, you know, wink, wink, whatever. And perhaps he's correct in saying that that's the case. However, if I wrote an entire dissertation why I'm saying that time is a gift, you know, I don't have time to put in, or I can't even use Facebook to make it look pretty for that long, because after a while, the whole back presentation goes away. But let's give it some more context. Let's look a little bit further, okay? Good morning, the dude, Sean. The dude, Sean. Sorry, is that really too fast? So let's take it a little bit further, what I mean about time and the construct of time. And that time is our most precious gift, right? Because we look at time first of all, from the construct of how we've created time. Well, how have we created time? Well, there's different measures that we've had. And if we look back historically, we'll see that they were really measuring time for the seasons for agriculture, right? They were looking at, you know, when do we plant? When do we move? Even nomadics, right, would be like, well, we know that the solstice is here. We know that, you know, maybe the winter solstice is coming or whatnot. We need to move. We know that the seasons are going to change and we got to get out of here. They had to measure it in some way. They had to understand it in order to work with it, right? Now, it wasn't independent of them, I don't think. What I believe is that it was a part of them. Good morning, the crazy lady and Zach and Deborah. And so they worked with time rather than, right, instead of saying, well, time is just illusion, it's stupid. No, they needed to measure time in order to survive, in order to live. Then we looked at the, you know, the elements. How do I work with the elements in time? So the construct of time allowed people to survive. If we didn't understand time, perhaps, you know, the human species would have perished. Okay. Or maybe we were inherently a little bit more connected to and had intuition with, sort of like animals, right? Where they have that instinctual pattern of they know when to migrate. They're not necessarily marking time as, you know, their pointer. They can feel it. They can sense it. They know that when maybe the leaves make a certain noise that the great winds are coming and that it's time to migrate, or they feel the sun is in a different direction or the vibrational frequencies on the ground. Who knows, right? There's different ways that they measure their time so that they can migrate and get out of harm's way, okay? So time, again, we've come up as human beings of different ways to construct it, to measure it, to understand it. Now, today, our time that we have, the construct of time, it sucks, right? It's almost like a ball and chain. It's like, okay, here's this 9 to 5. They call it the Ford model, right? The Ford model of time as we go into the industrial times where, you know, we start to manufacture goods. And they came up with the 9 to 5. And we sort of have not left that 9 to 5 sort of time construct, or if you want to call it a ball and chain, it feels like a ball and chain, right? Also, the calendar time that we use right now, there's different cultures that use different measurements of time, okay? So what am I trying to get at? I'll get to it. I'm going live, everybody, if you want to join. Oh, okay. Good morning. All right. Awesome. So anyway, when we're looking at the construct of time and the illusion of time and how we've constructed it for our own well-being, you know, when we look at it, we say, okay, so time itself is going to continue to tick on. Now, we're looking at the measurement of time through a calendar year. The Mayans looked at it through, right, 250,000, you know, whatever it was, years or decades, and they go by ages, right? And now we've entered into a new era, which they're calling the era of Aquarius. And we used astrology, the stars, and all that. Now, we as human beings, the vessel, right, the actual material, the material that gets to view the construct of time, the material that gets to perceive time. That's what we are. Good morning, Leela. Right? So we ourselves are the embodiment, or we are the flesh in which we can experience time. We can view it, we can sense it, we can see it. Now, as I was saying, if we were blind or if we didn't have eyes to see, how would we experience the illusion of time? Still, a gift, right? And I say the greatest gift that we have. Why? Because we know that, at least from our own perception, at least that we know now, we cannot move backward in time. Time seems to be linear. It seems to be that we view it moving forward. We don't view it necessarily moving backwards. Okay? Time seems to be this thing that's linear and moves forward. If that is the case, and our bodies, right, are here, and we're able to experience time, it becomes one of our greatest gifts. Now, here's the deal. It can be our greatest enemy, too. depending on how we spend our time. This gift that was given to us is probably the most magical thing we can experience here, if we're aware of it. Now, to utilize your time is where the magic exists. Right? So and people drop in and out, and I say, don't leave, because the reality is, and you get this, right? Conceptually, people will get this, but to actually be able to be the master of your own time, that is the magic. That is you actually reclaiming your power. How you value your time. We get a short amount of time on this particular planet, in this particular body, in this three-dimensional time space. Okay, so let me give all the context, because I know there's people out there who are like, well, what about this? What about that? I'm talking about the fact that we live in a body, the fact that we have this meat suit to experience this world, this three-dimensional time space. Now, what we do with it, right, will determine how happy or unhappy we are with our life. I will agree and disagree with you in the word magic. I would use the word your will instead of magic. Yes, will is a part of it. Will is a part of our ability to experience the magic, okay? So here's the deal. Yes, internal will is a part of the process. It is our will to determine how we will experience our time, okay? We can will ourselves to do something that's magnificent, right? We can say, well, my divine will and my divine purpose says that I get to get up and do spirit and coffee every morning. That's pure will. No one's telling me I have to do this. I don't get paid to do this. I've been doing it for 3 years, but it's pure will, right? So yes, will is a part of it, okay? And will is, if we looked at it, is the fire energy that we hold within us. It is our sacred divine connection to God, you could say. It's our connection to God and the source, whatever, however you describe it, the source, the universe, whatever word you use, Yahweh, you know, everybody has their own way of seeing it, okay? Good morning, the good, the bad, the ugly. When I talk about magic, I'm talking about the experience of the miracle. And then maybe the word is miracle rather than magic. I call it magic because it is magical, right? When we get to experience it. But without our will, if our will is broken, let's say, for instance, and I don't mean broken in the terms like it doesn't work, but broken in the sense that we don't know how to utilize it. We have to understand how to utilize our divine will in order to experience magic, in order to experience the miracle. Otherwise, right, our will is not even looking at it. There could be, and again, when we look at divine will, it's sort of connected to this, the ego as well, right? The ego that tells us that there's pride, right? Because sometimes we become so prideful, I know everything. When you know everything, or if you think you know everything, you close yourself off from other perspectives. In other words, we're not really utilizing our time to open up our mind to experience the magic of other things. Okay. So looking at it, when we say to experience the magic of time, right, or the miracle of time, if you want to use a better word or a different word. And I'd say miracles is a good word to use, because it is a miracle. Sometimes we look at life in our own lens and we're like, whoa, what the hell was that? That was a miracle, right? It seemed magical. It seemed like there was this thing that everything came together, and the experience of time, whatever folds and bends came in to put that moment where it needed to be so that you can experience that miracle, that magic. You're going, holy shit. This is beautiful. This is perfect. This is where epiphany happens. And all of a sudden, there's this grand epiphany in our minds. And all of a sudden, everything's interconnected. Like, for instance, you're sitting there in contemplation. And I'm sure many of you have this, especially if you're on here. You wouldn't be on here if you hadn't had these experiences, right? where you're sitting there contemplating or perhaps reflecting, and you're using your time to reflect, to view, to contemplate. And all of a sudden you look at something, and all of a sudden something triggers inside of you and everything connects. And you're like, holy shit, I just had an epiphany. Where everything seems to be synergized into this one thing, and everything's interconnected. And now you understand a concept in a from a different, deeper meaning. Okay, where we start to embody it, and then everything seems interconnected. This happens, for instance, when we're looking at, you know, the tarot, or the Kabbalah, or we're looking at these bigger processes. Even the Bible, if you read the Bible, all of a sudden you've read it for so long, you're contemplating maybe a passage within it, and you're looking up at the stars, and all of a sudden the two interconnect, and you're like, holy crap, now I get it, right? There's this deeper understanding or deeper feeling and sensation of understanding, and the epiphany happens where everything starts to interconnect. Good morning, Andy. That is us in observation of time. So time is our greatest gift. And I'm going to continue to say that. Why? Because the experience of time in this three-dimensional time space. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, and I'm going off on a tangent in there, right? Right. Because what happened, a friend, I wrote something about time. And of course, a friend comes back and says, well, I think the eternal soul is our greatest gift. Well, yes, of course. But that's not what I'm talking about, right? Let me give it some context so that the understanding of that particular quote makes sense. Let me go back a little further, right? Let me describe what I was trying to articulate within that particular quote. In this world, as we experience it, time in the three-dimensional time space. Now, I'm not talking about fifth dimension, sixth dimension, all that. I'm talking about right here, right now. As you experience your body, as you are in your vessel at this particular point, time is our most precious gift. It is, because guess what? We can't get it back, right? This present moment is an experience of a time frame. We could narrow it and say that perhaps right now, and the right now, right here, right now, right? The present moment, which is again, a measurement of time. They say, be present, be in the moment, right? That's a present. It's a gift. This very moment is a gift. Moment is a measurement of time. If we understand, here's the kicker. Here's where it all comes from. And please stay on. You can leave after this. I know the guy said whoever wants to leave, but I'm telling you not to leave only for this. I don't know what that other guy talks about. So perhaps he talks about time too, which would be good. But listen to this before you take, if you want to take off to his podcast, which is fine. Time. Okay. We, and when we know how to utilize our time and value our time, and we learn how to work with it. Okay. We actually can construct our own personal world. We don't have to live by the chains and the suffering of other people's worldviews. We can transcend that. Now, is it easy? Hell no, it's not easy. Because what does it take? It takes us disconnecting from the projection of other people's ideas of what time is and how it should be molded and constructed. Right. And right now we're dealing with a huge battle about what that looks like. People were liberated after. So here's what happened. This coronavirus came or whatever. People were liberated from their time construct. They were liberated. They were let loose. They said, nope, don't come to work. People said, well, now what do I do with my time? I don't even know what the hell to do. People were freaking out. Why? Because they allowed other people to construct how their day would look, how their time would look. And it was a pattern and it was comfortable. And that's the way we live. We live in the comfort of that pattern. Now, what the hell do we do? We don't know what to do with our time anymore. Why? Because it was given back to us. Some people went apeshit crazy, and they had this gift of time. Some people were excited, right? Some people were like, yes, now I can do my home improvements. I could spend my time doing things that I really want to do. Okay. And we were given all this gift back, and guess what? People didn't know what to do with it. Because why? Because we've been projected upon. From a greater construct, they have told us that a 9-to-5 job is how we should be spending our time. But we didn't spend our time like that in the past. We spent our time in agriculture, trying to feed ourselves. Now things have become easy. Now what do? If you learn how to utilize your time, you will leave a legacy of divine purpose, because you'll be working towards that. You'll understand the value of it. Your mind won't be caught up in meaningless conversations that are not getting you anywhere, that are perpetuating the same pattern of self-suffering. Now, people will say, I know. And I'm like, I don't give a damn if you know. Okay, and here's me being a little bit of a drill sergeant. It's not about knowing. It's about actually applying it. How do you apply the concept? Yeah, we know it. Okay, that's great to know it. But now go do it. Go be it. Not so easy, right? You'd be like, well, how do I do that? I have a job. I have to pay my bills. I don't know how to do that. I have to work. No, you don't. You have to do shit, really. You'll perish, of course, in the end, if we kept going down the line. If we kept going over and over and down the line, eventually you'll perish, and that's what it leads to. But you don't have to do anything. You're doing it because you want to survive. So then how do we get out of this 9-to-5 construct? You've got to start liberating yourself little by little. It doesn't come overnight. Trust me, for you to be a master of your own time. In fact, I don't know that I can point to any one person that's a master of their own time. I'd imagine that those individuals who are mastering time are the ones projecting their time illusion stories upon us, and that we've taken those stories as our truth. Do we have to? No. Can we liberate ourselves from it? Yes. But that takes a lot of work. And it's a lot of work that some people just choose not to do, and they'd rather, and it's okay. There's nothing right, wrong, good, or bad about it. Does it make you bad to say, I have to do this 9-to-5? No. Deb. So epiphany, meaning to come up to an understanding about something. Yeah, epiphany would be like, you know, when the interconnection of, I would say epiphany is, yes, the understanding, but it's deeper than the understanding about something. It's more of the embodiment of something. We are, and I don't know if you're still on here, Deb. Oh, sorry. And I you had a lot of stuff. Sorry, I just was kind of going off on a whole tangent. That's what I do. I get all passionate about stuff. Correct. From the moment we were born, our body is slowly beginning to die. It is corruptible and we don't live. Yes. And this is still forever. So cherish every moment we live in it. Yes, we won't live in it forever. Sorry to speak. No, that's okay. You don't have to be sorry. Girl, I speak in error all the time, so it doesn't matter. The only master of his own time is my teacher. Time has no meaning or purpose for him. Amen. There you go. The only master of his own time is my teacher. Yeah. So there you go. And when we start to look at it, right, Deb, and I don't know if you're still on here. I hope you are. That, yes, when we're looking at the construct of time, that we learn to master our time, we learn to master the illusion. Now we become the creator of our own worldview and our own creation. Otherwise, we're living into somebody else's creation and illusion. And that's what's happened. And it's not, is it a bad thing? Not necessarily. It's created something. Now, has it been good what it's created? No. It hasn't created exactly the things that we've wanted, right? If we look at how time has been utilized, okay, and I'm talking about the ages, time has been utilized for war, I'm not saying love didn't exist and all that. It always does. War and conquest, and this is mine, not yours. Time has allowed us to create what? The industrial world. The industrial world, right? Time has given us the ability to construct physics and mechanical physics, and it's taught us to be masons, and it's taught us to understand agriculture and all these things. That's what time has given us, right? How do we survive in this particular three-dimensional time space? Well, over time, we've learned. In this new worldview and our construct of time, it has done damage. We're seeing our worldview and our lens through the patriarch. Okay, right now, everybody has a lens of a patriarchal model. So let that sit in for a while. I have models to describe why we're seeing life through the patriarch. Not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying that it is only through the patriarch, pretty much. If we look at the construct, now I'm not saying that there are not civilizations who live in the matriarchal perspective. Our worldview, but the way that they view the world is very different from the way we do, and the way they experience time is very different, and the way that they engage time is different. We are engaging time through the patriarch. Now, because we are viewing this world through the patriarchal lens, okay, we're leaning to one side too much, okay? And then I'm going to go into the Buddhist teachings, which I always love to do. Too much of anything leads to suffering, okay? Buddhism talks about the middle path. But suffering, right, comes from us leaning into one extreme over the other. We are in the extreme patriarchal worldview lens right now. And what's crying out for us is the sacred feminine to come and see part of her lens and the damage that's been done on that end. Now, what has patriarch led us to? In that particular construct of time and space, right? It's a pyramid. It's an upright pyramid. That's what we use for everything. That's a patriarchal form, okay? When our organizations are constructing things through the patriarch, we end up with a highly masculine energy. This highly masculine energy has seeped into organizational structures, education, even government, even religion. Okay. Not right, wrong, good, or bad, but there is a consequence for us doing this. We have raped the world. We have raped the earth. Okay, that construct says it's okay to go and do pull out oil from the earth, that it's okay to do that. Because why? Look at organizations. They're built on a structure. The structure is a pyramid. It's a hierarchy. That's patriarchal. Okay. When you start to see the interconnections and how we've constructed our time, how we've constructed our buildings and the lens in which we are seeing life, we are living by the worldview that was constructed by the individuals who created these particular models and processes. We are living under the programming of the patriarch. Okay. Now, right, wrong, good, or bad? No, consequences though. Consequences for doing that. Right? You had to learn to put yourself on top of the pyramid. Yes. Now, some people will go to the extremes of, I will kill you to get to the top of the pyramid, right? I will manipulate. I will do whatever it takes to get to the top. Now, here's the deal. Can we create a win-win situation where we don't have to do that, where we can all work together as enough resources? Now we'll go to communism, which then takes, you know, people have their ideas about communism, right? Well, our socialism or whatever, right? That could be too far matriarchal, right? Where it's like, yeah, now you have people who don't do anything, and all the ones that do want to work are making up for the ones who just don't want to do anything, right? And that would be the other side of it. But in the middle, where do we find our middle? Now, the only way to find our middle, and I can go into a lecture on how this construct has created the world we see around us in terms of so many things. But I'm not going to do that because that would take 500 days. It would take forever to go through everything. But if we just talk about the construct of how we're viewing time right now and how we can shift that energy inside of us. Hey, Linga. Hey, Chronic. Is that Chronic? I like the lettering on your name. I don't know how you got it. Like, that's pretty cool. If we learn to shift our time. Now, how do we do that? We have to learn, first of all, who we are, which is not an easy thing. So to be on the other side of the construct of time and space, not an easy thing. It's not everybody's going to do it. There's going to be individuals who stay to the 9-to-5 patriarchal worldview lens and don't know how to get out of it. When people are starting to talk about, oh, we're in a new era, we're going to transcend time and space. Really? How? What are you doing? Well, I'm just going to meditate. Okay, well, stay there meditating all day and see what happens. You'll die eventually because you got to eat. Your body can't live in this time and space. And perhaps you have hit the other dimension, the other time and space, because your body has perished. And maybe that's it. You crossed over. But wouldn't that be considered killing yourself? Not allowing yourself to come to full magnificence of who you are in this particular time and space. To transcend time space, it takes a lot of understanding and embodiment. Okay, not just concepts I know, but the application of a concept, working with time, finding your secret elixir that allows you to sort of break the chains of the time that you're in right now. The construct of time that you're in. I am coming out with a course, a very basic course that talks about how to utilize your time. It starts with basic things. What are you talking about, first of all? Where are you lending your ear? What are you paying attention to? That is all shaping the way that you use your time. And how you view the world. Logos, pictures, words are there to shape the way that we view the world. What words do you use? How do you experience those concepts? If we talked about the concept of time, how do you experience time? Forget talking about it. Take the whole word out of it. What does it mean to you internally? Thank you, Deb. Ask yourself internally, how do I experience my time? And what am I doing with it? Am I wasting it? Go watch The Social Dilemma. I guarantee a lot of you are wasting it on social media. I waste it on social media. I'm addicted to it. I am trying to undo the addiction that I have to that particular thing because it's wasting my time. Time that could be utilized giving back to humanity. Time that I could be utilizing to support others in recognizing their magnificence and opening themselves up to their own construct of time. Right now, and I don't care, people can get very upset, and perhaps it's even an eye-opener. We are slaves to their construct of time, whether we want to believe it or not. We have bought into it. We have come to a social agreement that time is valued through the currency of money, that time is valued through a 9-to-5 job, that time is valued through status, that time is valued through some title. Even in the US specifically, we say, well, what do? Who cares what I do? Who am I? Am I a good human being? Why don't we ask those questions? How are you giving back to humanity? Are you loving? Are you kind? Are you manipulative? Like, who am I dealing with here? Sorry, my chains have been broken as far as time goes. Yay, that's awesome. It's my will concerning how I spend my time that I need to work on. Very cool. That's awesome, Deb. That is amazing. If you're working with time right now and you have learned to work with and be the master of your own time, which is cool. That not everybody gets there, right? People will be like, well, in retirement, I'm going to, you know, do that, or I'm going to go here. So a couple of questions for you. If you feel like the chains are broken for you, and I'm going to go into this real quick, and I have to get going soon, so we're going to make this pretty quick. If you feel like the chains are broken and you have mastered your own time, meaning you can do whatever you want, when you want, without having to report to anybody. That's what it is, literally. Okay. Then it's a matter of your will to how you spend your time. So I would say, first of all, do you know what legacy you want to leave behind? What is your divine purpose? Who are you? And if you're not spending your time the way you want to, what would you be spending your time doing or being? And if it's a question of will, what is your will asking you to do that you're ignoring? Hey, Jenny. Those are all questions you can ask yourself, and probably would take you, it could take you a lifetime to even answer them, and they could change over and over again. Okay. So you can write those questions down and journal on them. Most people, I want to say the majority of humanity is a slave to time, a slave to the construct of the way that they, whoever they is that created it, which we'll say it's a Ford model right now, the 9-to-5 adulting, do it now, time construct. Most people can't live without that particular construct, or they don't know how to get out of it. And they're looking for it. But as I said, coronavirus gave us a taste of that. Now people don't want to go back to work. They're dreading it. They're like, what was I doing this whole time? Why? Why do I got to do this? See, they've given people back some of their time. I spend my time discerning what my teacher has me doing, which is working with teaching my family. My values, working with people one by one who needs to smile, and encouraging words. But sometimes I feel I should be going out into the community and doing more. But it just seems like my teacher is limiting my time to one by one and family. Okay, so first of all, who's your teacher? Secondly, are you, and I don't know who your teacher is. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what that means specifically. But I would say that if your teacher is telling you what to do, you could be a slave to their time, because now you're doing it the way that they want you to, rather than trusting yourself and allowing yourself to work with time. So you're working with the teacher. This is how I'll say it. So I don't know what your teacher is, and I love it. If you're working with the teacher, awesome. You trust that person, cool. But what I would say is your teacher is sort of the middle person between you and time. So you still have a middle person. My teacher is Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. Okay, so if your spirit is telling you, right, if Jesus Christ is telling you this is what you should be doing, then okay. If it's going against something that's deeper within you, you may not be ready, right, for working with larger audiences from a spiritual perspective. Maybe this is practice for something bigger. It's like I talk about people winning millions of dollars, right? People want to win $1 million, but they don't even know how to budget, you know, $500. Or they don't even know how to manage $500, but they want to manage $1 million. First, you got to be able to manage the small things in order to allow the bigger things to manifest. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, discernment concerning, but I'm feeling is in line with what he's telling me. Okay, that's good. So if I thought your teacher was a physical person, if this is your spirit talking to you, that's what I'm trying to say. If this is your spirit, right, or spirit guide talking to you, and Jesus Christ is your spirit guide or your teacher or your savior or however you know, whatever it is your belief is, then I would say that. I would say that, yes, your spirit is telling you to hold back from doing something greater and work one-on-one until you can get a handle on that. Once you're able to get a handle on the smaller things, then Jesus Christ will hand you something greater. But you've got to trust. If you have faith in what's happening, right? If your faith is in Jesus and your faith is telling you this, then you follow your faith. Follow your faith. And then when it's time, right, when it's ready, then Jesus Christ, your savior, your teacher, will give you what is necessary, little at a time. Sometimes we want to jump the gun. Yes, I believe it's absolutely correct. Thank you. Yeah, we want to jump the gun, and it's okay. I do too. I'm like, give it all to me, God, all of it. No, honey. This is how I feel. God taps me on the head and goes, no, you're not ready for that. Okay. You know, and then I just go, okay, all right. Yeah, I probably want to jump the gun. We do that. We want it all. We want to be able to save everybody. We're not even here to save anyone. We're here to save ourselves, right? But we want to help other people, right? If we're good-hearted people, we want to help everyone. We want everyone to know the message. I want everybody to be on Spirit and Coffee. Guess what? They're not. They come and go. I have an audience of 2, 3, 4. I don't care. I still go on. The show must go on. God told me to do this. I'm going to do it. Just like Jesus is telling you to do that, you've got to do it, right? Just listen to the call. And as you do it, and as you build it up, and as you work with those individuals, then boom, all of a sudden something else shows up and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, but with the right timing, right? Now that's different. The timing, like you said, you're relieved from the chains of time because you're working directly with your source, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Now it's allowing and trusting and having faith. And of course, our human self gets involved and wants to do it all. And yeah, and then it ends up a mess. So we know that we can't do that, right? If our spiritual teachers are telling us something, we should listen. Otherwise, you know, it's our own self getting in the way of that spiritual intervention. And then we screw things up. And then before you know it, we have a big mess. So allow it to go through. And the constructs of time, again, if you're working directly with spiritual, you know, will, like you said, right, and you're working with your divine will, and you've already sort of disconnected from the illusion of time, of the chains of time that others have given you, now it's time to really listen. Then I have to go back to my teacher after I pick myself up and he helps me clean up and go forward. Yes. And that's what we do. And that's part of the process. It's like a parent, right? Think about a parent. I do this with my niece. I watch her go make a mess of her life. And then she comes crying back. And I said, yeah, I told you from the beginning, but I wasn't going to intervene. You've got to go make a mess to understand it. Right? But I'm always here. I'm going to be here. Right? It's the same concept. We make the mess of our life, not the other way around. God ain't making a mess of our life. God is saying, here's this beautiful planet with everything you need. And we go and we screw it all up. We think we know better. Do we? No. We don't know better. I don't know better. I do stupid shit all the time. It's like, no, what am I doing? That's not right. Then we have to come back and go, okay, I didn't do it right. What happened? But you weren't listening. I told you two people at a time. Why the hell are you trying? Just like with Spirit and Coffee at one point. It's like, I need more people. I need more followers. No, I don't. I don't even go and promote Spirit and Coffee. It is what it is. People that get on here, and they're here for a purpose, right? They're here for their own purpose. That purpose is their own. I can't make it up, and I'm not going to go force people to listen to me. I'm not going to promote myself everywhere. I will. My courses I'll promote, right? The courses that I'm offering. That's a little different. But Spirit and Coffee is just me talking about my own perception of life and engaging with other individuals. Like, if you all don't want to listen, it's okay. I say listen because I think what I'm saying or have to say is just another opportunity for you to get closer to your divine purpose. That's what it's here for. It's to help you get closer to your divine purpose. And there are certain tools and information that I seep out to you that hopefully will help you on your journey. That's it. But, you know, God, I let God lead this. I don't try to promote, make people stay. I don't get mad if they take off, you know. People say, I'm sorry I didn't watch you. I'm like, don't be sorry. Wasn't meant for you. It's okay. I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it because I was called to do it, because God said, you're going to do this. And so I do it. And whoever shows up, shows up. In fact, I'd rather have quality over quantity, to be honest with you. The quality of engagement that perhaps, Deb, that you were having that struggling with, trying to figure out if you should have more people or if you should do it the way that, you know, your guide is telling you to, that your savior is telling you to. Well, you've got to have that. If you have faith, you've got to have faith that what they're teaching you or telling you to do is the right way, and that you follow that for a purpose. And if that is the one message that we go away and it helped one person, that to me has more meaning than having a billion followers that are maybe like, yeah, whatever. Right? The richness of being able to touch that one soul where they're like, whoa, that's exactly what I was thinking. How? Well, because the message was for you, because the universe is actually talking directly to you. God is talking directly to you, just like God's talking directly to me through you guys. That's what it is. It's like a direct connection to God. Why? Because this is for God, by God. And I'm just the vessel, just like you are. You're the vessel of God. God will come through you. That's it. It's really that simple. So whatever message is meant to be heard will be for those individuals that are in that time and space where their mind is, right? Hey, Coach David. Hey, Albert. Do what your guide is telling you to do. It seems like you're following someone who is leading you in the right direction, host. Don't make me cry. Tears are starting to form. Good. Cry. Let it out. I cry on here all the time. I was crying. What was it? A couple days ago. I started crying. I've cried so many times on Spirit and Coffee. Crying is good. My dad used to tell me that crying is the only way to cleanse the heart. So I said, okay. So I cry. And then we cleanse the heart, and afterwards, divine will shows up. So there you go. Because water, once the water drains, the fire can reignite. So tears are good for, if you were looking for divine will, like you said earlier, and you were looking for that fire and that passion, maybe motivation to keep doing what you're doing, crying is going to help you. Hopefully they are better tears of a woman, for those are a gift. Yes. Cry. That's what I do. I cry for joy, cry for happiness, cry because of pain, cry. And then afterwards, that's where divine will lives. That's why most people can't get to it, because like they've cut off. That's another masculine thing. Don't cry. Fire, 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 because masculine energy is fire. Water is feminine. Don't cry, but we need both. So they cut the tears and all we have is fire, and it's become this distorted warfare. And let's just rape the earth. And now when we have tears, right, we replenish, we resurface, and then we cleanse the divine will. So that we have a healthy fire, a well-contained fire, not a fire that takes out everything. Okay, so there you have it, time construct. I'll continue to talk about time. I think it's such a powerful tool. If we learn how to use it, it is our greatest gift if we learn how to maneuver through it, okay? So there you have it. Deb, thank you for your engagement. I absolutely love when people engage and also are looking for clarification from what I'm saying. Because I don't always know if what I'm saying is getting across. And sometimes I have to restructure my words or rephrase or dig a little deeper into the meaning behind what I'm saying. So I want to make sure that people understand what I'm trying to articulate, right? It's important that people get the message that I'm trying to leave. And if it's incorrect or if there's something, I will contemplate it. If someone says something, I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. Or, oh, yeah, okay, there's something a little deeper I need to look at. I do that as well. That's what my teacher and I love about you. Yeah. And ditto, that's what I love about you as well and your teacher. Jesus Christ is my teacher as well, just so you know. That are many discussions. Let me just tell you, girlfriend, get your act together. Oh, yeah. Okay. I will. Thank you. Awesome. So have an amazing day, you guys. And I will be seeing you all tomorrow. Thanks for those who hung in here. Remember, time is a gift. Time is, and how we utilize it, break those chains. You can do it. And again, I think I already knew it. I could see my teacher in you. Awesome. Thanks, Deb. Well, I appreciate that. And ditto. And again, we are reflections of one another. So as you see within me is within you, right? As they say, time is a gift. Thank you for that. Amen. Awesome. Have the most beautiful day ever. And I will be seeing you guys tomorrow. We'll continue on the time topic. I think it's really cool. We can talk about maybe how to reconstruct it or something. Okay. All right. I love you guys. Bye.